bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. Children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you. Oh, generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you. you, he is for 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 you.
Thank you, Primo.
Oh.
Yeah. Such a wonderful, wonderful song.
Yeah.
You remember you recorded that for Donnie, my son Don?
Yes.
And when we were in a rental van, very nice rental van, and we were going to his memorial in the spring, you come across the sound system singing this. And we couldn't figure out how it got there.
Oh!
And not only did that happen once, it happened many times. So anyhow, a lot of incredibly heart-touching and moving and incredible things occurred around Donnie's passing. And every time you sing this, I love it. Mm. And it always brings that time into focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I recorded it when my mother was laying in her bed mm-hmm. at my mom's place in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's
just, so
beautiful.
It was.
I still I have it in my files and yeah, really, really wonderful. Indeed. Wow. So every night, actually, every evening, all the time, but every evening there's a focus for Dawn. So it's not just when that song comes on, but when that song comes on, it's magnified. Mm. And so when you sing that song for us. Okay. Gallery, stop looking at me and evaluating me. People lean in going, how is she doing there? Like that a lot. Sanaz is laughing. She knows that she's doing that for sure. Well, there has been some improvement. Let me give a little update. There has been some improvement in the last 2 days, a little like this, but significant improvement and still slowly, slowly. I would like to see significant improvement and quickly, quickly. But we are with it as it is, and it is the body, and there's no mood or feeling depressed or anything like that. But, and yet it's It's the body. Okay. So there it is. There is some improvement. I can see the end of the tunnel. But it's a very slow process. But anyhow, there it is. Update. So let us begin. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Paramatma Ki Jai. Gurudev Bhagwan Ki Jai. Satcha Sangha Ki Jai. Mm-hmm. And for the transmissions, we will get very quickly, started on the Isha Upanishad. I would like for you to get very familiar with it through the chanting that I have, Shri has posted. And I'm having a really nice time looking over different perspectives on this Upanishad. I love this Upanishad. It's very deep. And we'll get started real soon. It won't be a long series because it's only 18 mantras long. So that's a little update. Very quickly, we'll get started on this. I've already recorded an introduction. That's all I have to say. So, I'm, you know, the older I get, the slower I get. And I like and don't like that part. Both. It's really nice and it's really... Anyhow. So, I want to, it's just the craziest way to start a sentence. A few crazy ways to start a sentence. I want to tell you that, well, why waste the words? Because you are telling that. It's just so silly. And then what's another one? I'll be honest with you. When are you not honest with me or each other? Why you have to say, I'll be honest, honestly. What does it emphasize? I mean, it doesn't make sense at all. Just be honest. Anyhow, language. For me, language is of utmost importance. It's very, very important to be aware of what you're saying and choosing your words carefully and conveying exactly what you mean. So those are very important terms of communication as far as I'm concerned. Let us go over one more time detachment. Because I think it's really, really misunderstood. I feel detachment is so misunderstood. Detachment is potential and possibility at work, opening up. It's not, detachment is possibility. It is potential. It is a wide open sphere of it is as it is, and we move with life as it is. Do we want to pray for somebody's welfare? Yes. Well, how can we pray for somebody's welfare when things are as they are? I get this question a lot, actually. And the answer is, the opposite from a true statement is a false. The opposite from a false statement is a true statement. The opposite from a profound truth may well be another profound truth. And I feel that this is of great importance, this statement, because somehow we get it into our trajectory, our way of thinking, that it is like this, and this is how it has to be. And if it's not like this, it's not detachment. And, you know, there's an old statement. I think it's an old Zen statement. It kind of says something like the hollow bamboo. Huh? That the bamboo is hollow. It doesn't mean it's cold. It doesn't mean it's hot. It doesn't mean it's like this. It doesn't mean I accept everything exactly as it is and I stand detached. Not at all. The hollow bamboo is still growing very fast, making beautiful, beautiful image of the leaves and the stems. There's still an incredible beauty to it. It's not just hollow. It's alive and it's moving and it's beautiful. It's so beautiful that in Japanese painting, it is a main topic. Can you have feelings and be detached? Absolutely. The opposite from a false statement or a profound truth is another profound truth. Opinions and detachment are a bit in conflict. But you can have opinions and still be detached. Ramakrishna put it like this. To have these opinions, he was talking about something else, but it applies to stuck opinions and how it has to be and how we have to see it and like that. He said it's like a line drawn on water, an opinion. So take a bowl of water and draw a line with your finger and see how quick that disappears. So you may have opinions. It doesn't say that you're not detached. You may have feelings. It doesn't mean that you're not detached. So detachment in its sense, I mean, we walk through life. We walk through life. A yogi walks through life moment to moment detached. In some sense, it means, and it can mean many things. So let's just say that in some sense, it means that we might want this to happen. And we're 100% aware that this may happen. So we may want this to happen, but we're 100% aware that this may happen. That's detachment. That's one quality of detachment, is to be aware that what you want may not occur, or it may not occur as you want. There's the hollow bamboo. Life is just living through this extraordinarily fast-growing, beautiful, beautiful image bamboo, section by section by section. A home for many, many birds and monkeys, and the image of the bamboo is extremely beautiful, like your life. It's growing section by section. Many, many different life forms in your life, monkeys, birds, beauty, snow, the summer, the rain. And yet the bamboo is hollow. Not cold, not distant. Just hollow. Another quality of detachment is absolute love. Another quality of detachment is the will of God, means it will be what it will be, whether we want it to be or not. Do we still pray for people? Absolutely. Is that detachment? Absolutely. Thy will be done. It is as it is. May this being, let's take Max, for instance, may this being recover in the light of God's grace. Thy will be done. Huh? Detachment. It does work as it does work. It is going to be as it's going to be, and we don't fight with it, and we don't argue with it, and we see the benefit in every section of the bamboo, in every section of our life, in every walking, in every moment. So can you have emotional content when something surprising happens and still be detached? Yes. Because really, detachment means at the end, I'm not fantasizing about what I want because I see what it is. And from here, we move to another section, huh? Moment through moment. And we live aware that our desire does not always come true. And we're okay with that because we are detached. Detached means possibility is functioning. Possibility is open. We are aware that this could, this could, this could, and we go section by section, moment by moment, and see. And do we wish the best for someone? Yes. Do we cry when something has happened to our mate or our loved one? Yes. Detachment is not cold and calculated. And there may be opinions, there may be all kinds of things occurring in your life like a line drawn on water. Means we're open for what we don't see, what we don't comprehend, for our wishes and prayers and energy will be fulfilled in its own time, as it does, not necessarily as we think it should be. So the should be's, they're there. This should not happen. Does that mean you're not detached? No. Detachment really means possibility and love. And it's not cold, and it's not calculated, and it's not like that. I'm detached. You know, usually when I hear something like that, it indicates to me, I cannot say because I'm even detached, I would be even detached from that statement. But if it has this kind of little bit of arrogance or flippantness, it would indicate to me that maybe yes, maybe no. But I would always listen to what I'm told. My heart may react, well, that's a very strong way of saying I'm detached. But it would mean for sure that someone is that's on their radar, so to speak, because they couldn't say it unless it's on their radar. You understand? Yeah. So we always, everything can happen in detachment. Everything can happen in detachment, but we come always to the hollow bamboo where life lives through us. Our opinions are thin, even if we have them. Our emotions are active. Our wishes are active, and we know. It may not be exactly like that, and it may be exactly like that. How we just leave it play itself out. So I'm looking at my beagle because her back leg is harmed, so I'm watching her for a little bit. Anyhow, I can be heartbroken and detached. How is that possible? Because these are the feelings that I have. I don't want them. I don't want to push them away. That's detachment. I'll get through this. I will learn the great teachings of the potential of the moment, the possibility that stands before me, and the love of equanimity that actually delivers me to a true detachment. Love is equanimous. Possibility is, well, let's put it this way. When you will complain, sometimes we do. You can complain and be detached. When we complain to the part, to the point where it disturbs our heart and our view is smoky and stormy, then we're caught in that. We're caught in it. We're caught in the storm. And detachment will release you from the storm because possibility is standing before you, is coming into you, is the hollow bamboo, section by section, empty inside. Empty means wonderful, because when your heart is empty, rather than being full and rigid and deeply opinionated and fighting life, one can learn that possibility is knocking. Take a look, hear, be still, watch, be open for what may happen, what may be, what may not be, and see things as they are. I remember Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita at the end, that's Lucy, at the end, that people who don't see things as they are deeply deluded. And that's true. So part of, a great part of detachment is seeing things as they are, whether we like it or not. And when we see things as they are, whether we like it or not, there's some responsibility that takes its place in our heart and soul, and ease begins to be empty, like the bamboo. Life lives through it. And the appearance of the bamboo is absolutely beautiful. And the inside is like a heart, absolutely empty. Absolutely empty. That heart that is empty, so to speak, these are analogies. That heart that is empty, anyone can sit within it and benefit from the love within it. Anyone can be there. It's like the sky. It's really boundless in the equanimous love. And that's what I would say, that that's what every yogi wants to live in anyhow. And any dynamic can happen in detachment, but we always return to, we see it as it is. Potential is present. And we're equanimous in love. That's what I have to say about detachment. Anything else can happen in it as well. But we always land right there. And when we're struck by emotion or opinion or hurt or tremendous complaining or a kind of flippant, I'm detached. When, in fact, you do have opinions and you do, you know, so... And you do have a view. Push it aside. Don't push it aside. Go ahead and have it. And you are detached. You are. It's true. Because life is living through you. And you see it for what it is. And you're equanimous in love and know the possibility is going to play out. It's going to anyhow. This is why Krishna said in the 18th chapter at the end, he said, if you don't see, well, these are my words. When you don't see things as they are, you're totally deluded because things are as they are. That's the way it is. Things are the way they are. So a yogi will, yogi means one who is in union, seeking union. I fear not using the word seeking. I don't care what other spiritual people say. Seeking means discovery. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Discovery of what is truly there. And see, when you will see things as they are, you will see yourself as you truly are. So it sets the brain in a certain kind of wiring, sets the heart in a certain kind of receptivity, sets the eyes in a certain kind of view and the ears wide open. And all your complaints and all of your dynamics are not really harmful because you're going to learn from them. Unless they go on and on and on and on, you'll still learn from them. Mm-hmm. You still come to it is as it is. Mm-hmm. Tim, namaste. Can we get Tim? Yes. Anybody
namaste,
else?
Shantamai.
1 second, Tim. Namaste. Anyone else who wants to raise their hand, do it now because it calculates how long the satsang will go before it's complete. Thank you. Tim, this is a very white place that you're in.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, white. Nice.
Yeah, it's see the surfboard up in the left-hand corner there. It's carved, got a surfer's. But anyway, I like that piece. Can you see that?
Yep.
Anyway.
Excuse me for saying yep. I don't like it. Yes, I see.
That's okay. Shantimai, I was just reflecting earlier today on knowing versus knowledge, and I was just listening to you in relation to detachment. And I know in my own life, like getting pulled into knowledge and then but always focusing and trying to stay seated in knowing, it's, I know there's no separation, but it feels like a pull back and forward sometimes. There's so many opinions and so much stuff out there in the world that of people expressing opinions. It's, you know, for me, sometimes it's hard not to get pulled by that.
Sure.
And yet, as I was reflecting on it and listening to you, it really, it's not really necessary to get too heady about it, but it just seems like it's very much a dance to me, that knowledge and knowing and back and forth and sort of developing a nervous system that is much more in the knowing. And naturally that knowledge, what that knowing, I'm curious to hear from you around how knowing in your life has replaced knowledge, if you like, or if that has been the case, or how those two things interplay, or even if you see it that way.
Well, I would change the word from knowing to being. Because what you come to know in knowledge, which I feel is wisdom, when they say knowledge, it is knowledge, but it's a very fine and deep grade, so to speak, of knowledge, wisdom. So oftentimes in the Gita, I would see knowledge, and then the sentence before and the sentence after would be extraordinarily, to me, simple wisdom. So wisdom and being, I would replace those words. I'm picky, picky, picky. That's just the way it is. So knowledge translates and transforms through being aware that what you are knowing is already true in you. And that brings, that is a transformation to being. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, yeah.
Okay, because knowledge, the, what you come to know and what you come to be inspired by the Gita, inspired by the Upanishads, inspired by a case in miracles or however that is called, you know, these great, great inspirations that tell you exactly about yourself. And I would always listen to the world with the ears of the world, where I can relate because I live in that world too. However, you're in an alchemical process from within, and nobody knows what you're doing, Tim. Only you do. Nobody knows. They cannot know. They can only know from themselves and their own transformations. So the world, you know, in the Upanishad, in the Isha Upanishad, one of the first statements is, give up this world, renounce, and enjoy what you renounced. Enjoy that you have renounced it because it no longer pulls you, no longer demands of you, no longer do you really care in the deepest sense what anybody says about anything, because you're seeing through the eyes of, I'm finished with all of this dualism. And I'm going to live in it. I'm going to live in two worlds at once. I'm being pulled by the fragrance of who I truly am. And this is the way I must go. I cannot go another way. And it will be, and it is being revealed to you, to the capacity that you will, I don't like this word, embrace it. I can't stand that word. It's so overused. Receive, like you're a holy grail being poured into constantly, overflowing. So you're a man of spirit, and you cannot really go on even my view. I pray that wherever I'm aiming will serve you. And yet, well, I pray that it does serve you. It'll serve you in its way, in its own way. The clatter of the world. Do you remember, I'm not going to go into this very deeply, but do you remember telling me about a situation where one was taken in an ambulance and just heard the clatter of the world as the clatter of the world, the clatter of the world, the clatter of the world, the same words? You remember telling me that story?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah, I think we're thinking of the same one. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it's the same one.
There might have been more than one.
Just around, around, around,
yep,
around,
yep.
around. And how you saw that, or how that person saw that, or how people see that, that's it. And love will take you into that world. and keep you patient with that world and deflect the nonsense of that world and receive the beauty of that world, you know? And inwardly, Tim, you can go nowhere but where you're truly pulled into self-realization, God-realization. However that is, through the Lakota, through the yogis, through Jesus, through Buddha, through these extraordinary doorways. Somebody asked me recently, after displaying what Krishna said to Krishna, to Krishna devotees, worship me, pay attention to me, give all your love to me, give every action to me. And then they said to me, how do you do that? And I said, Krishna just told you how to do that. And there's no roadmap here. How is not a valid question? I mean, it could be sometimes, because we can't make a blanket, you know, how is not. But mostly how is not a valid question, because how is your journey? It's already been pointed out to you. So what does that mean to you? How, I can't tell you how. I can only inspire you to move along. Bless you to move along. Walk with you to move along. Love you when you feel unloved, or when you feel loved, whatever it is, to move along. But how means this is my way. I go this way. No two alike. Love the world. Don't be in it. Who cares about it? It's a mess. It's a tragic mess. And people are waking up because it's a tragic mess. And who cares about anybody's opinion? You have a heart that is talking to you all of the time. So I would always go there in moments of silence. You know how to do that. And carry on. And I saw that big breath you just had. That looked like a relief. You'll never be pulled off your path. At least that's the way I see you, Tim. You'll never be pulled off your path. Whatever you're going through will only serve that you take another step inward. That's kind of what we were talking about in detachment. You know, it's always just coming back to oneself.
It's interesting when you were talking about that how is not a valid question. I was thinking, we're always howing anyway. We're just howing. We are howing. I don't know if it's a word, but it should be.
Well, you can add a WL there. And, but I understand the reason to ask for direction. But the direction was obvious. Once you're given the direction, how is not a question. Yeah. Either you do or you don't. That's always up to you. I love that part. You know, I love that part, because nobody can say anything about anything. You will move as you do. God bless your movements.
Thank you, Shantimai.
You're welcome. You can hear the recording again. Some spots will be important to you.
I'll listen to it again.
Yeah, in the world, but not of it.
Yep.
The Hollow Bamboo. It's a really good out, beautiful, 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 growing section by section quickly, and inside, silence, stillness, life as it is. And the love of God, whatever that means to anyone. I know it means something to you in your own sphere of spirituality. The way. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Shantikai.
Let's see what we have here. Thank you so much. Gabrielle. Namaste, Gabrielle. How are you
Namaste.
Doing?
Namaste. I'm good. Doing good. Yes.
Good. Yeah.
Yes, I wanted to thank you for all your wonderful words and for everything actually that led to me being good today.
Yeah, I'm happy. May the words that are offered really glow and enter a space within you that brings deep comfort along the way and peace. May they be truly meaningful for you.
Yes. I also wanted to use the opportunity to thank Sangha.
Oh, yeah.
For the wonderful outpouring of love and support from Max and also for me. And it's really surprising to be in the situation and to just learn from the inside to be patient, to be detached, to be completely loving.
Completely loving and detached are one and the same.
It's wonderful. And it's really strange. So I go to the hospital again later every day as long as Max is there. And it's just, that's our life now. That's where he lives now until he comes back home. So that's just what I do. There's no complaint or I don't have many opinions. I don't like the commute, but there's a commute. How lucky am I? Just go into the S-Bahn and there I am.
I understand. See, this is very interesting what you say. I don't like to commute, but this is what it is.
Yes.
And really, detachment is absolute surrender to the way things are.
Yes.
Inside and out. And as they move deeper inside, the lessons of life.
And I wanted to speak about Max a little. So he's fine. He's just, you know, he's just there. Things are happening to him. The worst parts that I, the one that I experienced that was really frightening, he has no memory of it. We don't know why he screamed. Was he in pain? No idea. He doesn't know. He has no memory of it. So he's...
It's okay that he just...
Yes, and that's what happens then. The brain just switches off and gone it is.
And we don't remember our past lives, do we?
No, he didn't say anything about that, no.
No, and people who are in accidents oftentimes don't remember. I think it's a mechanism of heartful safety in some way.
So he's fine. He's kind of back. He's not confused anymore, but he's slow. He doesn't say much. There's little impulse. Today he texted me to bring his razor, which is like really progress. So he's texting me. But I could talk to him yesterday and he's responsive and normal, just very slow, very tired, easily exhausted. And they're doing tests and hopefully tomorrow when the doctor's team is there, we'll know more. There was one thing I wanted to say. I'm extremely grateful. I'm not expecting anything. I'm going there. I don't know hospital. I'm just totally not familiar with the situation. And there was this doctor, this emergency doctor, he was on duty, but he's not Max's doctor. He's just there for everybody. And I met him in the hallway and I said, "Oh, are you the doctor?" And he said, "Oh my God, yeah, but I'm so stressed. I'll see you later because I don't know what to do first. And the emergency room is overflowing." And I said, "Okay, thank you." And then he actually came and took as many minutes of his day as it needed for us to understand the immediate situation, what was going on in Max's brain, as far as he could tell without being the diagnostic doctor. And I was just so grateful. And I knew he was extremely stressed, so I just asked.
He was doing what he had to do.
He gave us a lengthy explanation about what's happening in the brain, and they don't know why, and now Max is getting medication for what. And I was just so grateful. And then that on Monday, there will be a doctor's team meeting, and I don't know whether I see any of them tomorrow or not. But it's one day, someday, we will find out what's going on, hopefully.
Maybe.
When they find out. If
attachment.
Yes.
One day we'll find out what's going on. That's your desire. And
maybe we don't. Yeah.
Of course. And maybe you don't.
Maybe we don't.
So this keeps you very equanimous. And if you don't, then you will go down that route for a while and wonder why, or say you should, or whatever. But it'll all come to the moment of what it is.
Yes.
And maybe you will know.
Yeah. Maybe we will know, and maybe there will be something to be done or not. We will see.
Yeah. We will see. That was the mantra for a while, remember?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This mantra has been working very well, by the way.
So just to finish this, maybe I wanted to say that when I was with Max yesterday and he was back, like awake with me, I was just so grateful. And I felt like I'm staying as long as I can. After an MRI, he was exhausted, so then I went home. But it's just, this is my time with him now. I love him so much. I felt that so strongly. And that's just how we spend time now. I'm just there. And that's completely fine. And I don't know what comes. So
no,
just
you
be
don't.
With this what is now.
That's right. You don't know. You didn't know that this would come. So
No.
So it's a great, great, all of life is a great, great teaching when you receive it for the discovery of your true nature. That's where it's going. That's where all those great teachings are going, into the repository of self-awareness.
Yes.
Yeah. Whatever they may be. Whatever they may be. God bless you. Give Max my love. Give Max our love. Okay?
I will. Thank you, Shantimaya.
You too. Namaste.
Namaste.
So we have Swami Jupiter. It's a great name.
Hi, Shantimaya. Namaste.
Namaste. Can we get there? We got him there. Okay. What's on your heart? What do you have to say? What contribution? What question?
It's really nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
I met you just once in Rishikesh. I think it was the end of 2016 or early 2017.
Oh, wow. That's a while ago.
Yeah. And at the time, I remember we had this really nice conversation. We were in a restaurant near Ramjula. And I was spending time with my guru there in Rishikesh.
Who was your master? Who was your master?
His name is God Ye.
I heard of him. Yeah.
And I remember I had mentioned to you that I hadn't been to your satsang. I knew who you were, but I hadn't been because I felt like I was already doing conscious work.
Of course.
And you said something like, of course, you've found your master. Why would you go looking somewhere else? And it was very affirming. And I remember I shared with him that
conversation. I remember this conversation.
Yeah. You were with your, I think your granddaughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just the other day, he had asked me to write down 10 things or 10 people that I knew 100% certainty helped me with my spiritual development.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the second name I put on the list or person. I put him and some other things. And I just, it was just very recent, and I felt this desire to connect. And when I saw you had satsang, I'm actually hitchhiking across Argentina right now.
Nice.
I'm sitting on the side of a highway, and I think it's kind of amazing that I can be on this call.
How is it working for you, hitchhiking across Argentina? How's that going?
It's super great. It's fun.
Good.
It's a type of vulnerability. You know, I've done a lot of hitchhiking. And you're kind of at the whim of other people's helpfulness. And, you know, I have this, I give away a lot of money in my life. So I'm often not with a lot of cash and just trusting.
That's good.
Things tend. I guess I kind of wanted to ask you, you know, I've been with my guru almost 11, 12 years. And I have a lot of resentment and anger with him because he's provoked me a lot.
That's good. I don't know about your anger, but I know about his provocation. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I figured you would. And, you know, sometimes I meet these other sanghas or I meet people that they love their guru so much. And there's all this like warmth and love. And I'm like, I don't feel that very often. In moments I have. And, but my relationship with him, it's a very challenging and provocative one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really grateful for it too, though. Cause sometimes I'll see a satsang or a sangha and I think, why doesn't the guru challenge this person a bit more? Like they'll allow them to go on and on in their story or their mind. And that's just not been my relationship with my teacher. And I think it has a lot to do with my relationship with my father.
Oh yeah.
And then I was listening to you this morning and you remind me a little bit of my father, but like a kinder form, because he's very particular about language, and I notice uh-huh. you're very particular about
good
words.
Him. Good for him.
Yeah.
I want to come in here. Can I come in?
Please, yeah.
I also had a teacher. He was a guru. I had a great teacher, Manly P. Hall. And then I had my first guru, because he was of the kind of Vedanta, well, not kind of, he was of the Vedanta light, let's put it that way. And he was wonderful, and he was very nasty. He never
yeah.
hurt me physically. He never intruded on me physically, but he could be, and he still is, very, very critical and very rough and okay, you know, God almighty. And it never seems to stop. As a matter of fact, I looked him up not long ago and he's still talking about me. After, I mean, we had our departure in 1986 and he's still referring to me and how wrong I am. And now, I'm an old woman now, you know, and he's still going on. And I'm just, not huge, but he made reference and how he disagreed and how he, so like this. I'm also very grateful for him. He had a kindness also that I only met it in him, this particular kindness that he had. Generosity, sweet nature, and hammer.
Yeah.
And my feeling was for him that his hammer was self-serving and not serving anyone else.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm very grateful for him. Then I met Maharaji, who was like, I say, he was like an open lotus. And I don't know, we had a magic between us that was incredible. And he threw me under the carpet, under the bus a few times. And I understood that the reason he was doing that was because for someone else's sake, that was fine with me. Everything he did was fine with me. I never found anything in Maharaji that I disagreed with or wouldn't go in the exact direction he told me. That's how deep it was. And he loved me like crazy, and I love him too. And he loved everyone like that, which gave me deep, deep satisfaction. Because I could see his heart was true to everyone. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guru. So I was really glad to be done with being called names and being told what's wrong with me and being told, and okay, I mean, it really gave me a tough skin, and I'm very grateful for that. But I was really, my guru said to me, Maharaji said to me, I've been waiting for you for, I was only 38, he said, some 40 years. The first day that we met, he said, I've been waiting for you. And his ashram is a mess because once he passed away, everybody went into their most self-serving, greedy, frightened, non-transparent place. And the people are wonderful. But this they have to live through. I mean, they're really wonderful. I absolutely love these people. I don't want anything to do with it anymore. But this, I have no critique of them. I know that they're going through what they have to go through to realize, you see. So I just wanted to say that to you. Both did good work with me. And I'm grateful for both, and I'm glad I'm not kicked in the rear end up to the moon again and again and again and again and again. Because to me it was like, it felt to me self-serving. And it did me good too. It did me good too. But there was some kind of satisfaction in that that I thought was a little thwarted.
Yeah, I understand. Like, obviously, if I see someone as my guru, I put them in a power position I give them a special position in my heart, in my life.
And that's your choice.
It's 100% a choice.
Good
and,
for you.
And it had a lot of value for me, a lot of transformative value for me for many years. Yeah. And over the last few years, I've been questioning, does it still have that value? Or is this still the right way for me to move forward in my growth or my freedom? And because I think I have this fantasy, like if I just spend enough time with this person, there'll be a day where I'll wake up and realize, oh, okay, I don't have to put up with this sort of spiritual torture anymore.
Yeah.
Or is it, will it be a choice, like coming from ego or...
Forget ego.
You said that last time.
Don't talk about ego. Don't think about ego. Don't look through the eyes of ego. Don't have that view. Forget it. It's just such a stupid thing. Not you, stupid. The idea.
Okay,
go on.
No, you said the same thing last time. And I understand what you're saying.
Good.
I don't know if it's like I want to feel like life is making the decision.
Oh, you can make the decision. Your life. You know,
yeah.
And I would say one thing. If this master's critique is giving you a thicker skin, and you can dismiss it, then he's serving you. But when it looks self-serving, and I don't know him, so I can't say, self-serving, and like you say, I give this position to this person to abuse me. That's the way I felt about what was going on with me. And life may make that decision for you. Life may make it, but you can make it. You can make it at yourself if you wish.
Yeah. I feel there's value in multiple influences as well. Like, I think it's, if someone's found their Satguru, that's great. And I think there's value in meeting other teachers or other masters, or even just having friends that are Buddhas.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a friend, or whether you're my teacher or my friend, or my guru is my guru, or just my friend, like to have these people in my life, because the value, someone who's a Buddha who can hold me accountable to that, like there's not a lot of people that I meet in the world that can do that. And so to me, it's important to have that in my circle. And
wait a minute. You hold you accountable.
Also, yes.
Only.
Yeah.
Only. Only.
I agree.
Yes. And then you will move as you feel is correct. Naturally. You hold
I
you
agree.
Accountable. Don't depend on anybody else doing that. And if they dare to, you have already done that. They need not do that.
Sure. But even now, like you are holding me accountable when you say that. Like it's, I don't see it as a, you're not responsible for my accountability.
I love what you say. That's right. That's true. What you're saying is true.
Yeah. There's just certain friends that have enough consciousness that they don't let things slide. And I do that for myself. I do that for the friends that I care about.
That's,
you know,
right.
If I,
and yeah. We let a lot of stuff slide.
Probably also, yeah.
Why not? Why to always be on somebody like this?
Yeah.
I love you. I just love you to pieces. I'm so happy for this conversation.
I love you too.
Are you American?
I'm Canadian.
Uh-huh. Same
but
thing.
I,
North America.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, I'm from Canada. I lived a lot in the States too. My dad's an American citizen. So I have a green card.
I love the name Jupiter. Do you know what the name is in Sanskrit?
I think it's Jyotish.
No, that Jyotish is light. It's Brahaspati. It's Jupiter.
Brahaspati. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? Huh?
Brahaspati.
Yeah, Brahaspati. Jupiter, the guru. That's what it's the guru planet.
It's expander, yeah, the expansive energy.
Mm-hmm.
I had the name Milarepa for about 10 years. And then Jupiter came maybe 2.5 years ago. And it was a relief not to have to be Milarepa anymore. yeah, Jupiter. Thank you. I'm glad you like the name.
Yeah, I do. And Milarepa has his earphones in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just amazing. I'm somewhere outside of Buenos Aires, and you know, I was wondering, like, where is everybody in the world? And I think it's just so cool that I could be sitting here on this call with you and with the Sangha's energy.
Me too.
Where are you now?
I'm in France.
Oh, you're in France. Okay.
Yeah. I live in France. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm there, I would love to come visit.
Yeah, well, come on to satsang once in a while. It'll be good to see you. You need not worry a bit, concern yourself a bit. You are well on your way.
Yes. Yeah, I know that.
I'm glad you do. I'm so touched that you say you know that.
Yeah.
It's extremely meaningful. Go ahead, please.
In a way, it's sort of easy because if I'm not thinking, that is just obvious. Everything is as it is. And to me, it's I have so many tools. You know, I love the work of Byron Katie or Osho meditations or just surrender or just to be in the heart. Like, there's so many tools to be.
Actually, to be reminded of what is already within you.
Yeah.
You don't have to cultivate anything. You just have to discover.
I listened to a recording of a satsang 2 days ago of yours. And I was just crying and crying and crying. Actually, it at the beginning, it was someone was playing the sitar. And I thought this moment, I was like, oh, this is so boring. Do I have to sit and listen to the sitar? And then this other part of me thought, oh, that's not true. That's just like, that's the part of my mind that needs stimulate, like needs something to happen. And then there was this very deep relaxation when I just decided to stop and listen. And I thought, wow, this is such beautiful music.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what you were saying, but it was just put me so much in my heart. There was all this sadness, like I could just, and love that I could release. And
yeah.
It's just, it's very nice connecting with your energy. It's softer than my guru has been.
It's very interesting because sometimes people write and say, well, recently I got a little letter that said, and thank you for the severe teachings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's there too. And I think sometimes it takes time to see a person's shadow as well. Yeah. Like maybe there's a honeymoon, you meet your master. And I had that actually with God. It was like for the first year and a half, I would have all these awakenings and it was always very fun and playful. And then there was like, things shifted and that hammer that you spoke of. Yeah, I've certainly been hammered a lot and it's had a lot of value, but it's also been very painful.
Yeah, and you don't need to be hammered to be pulverized. You already understand your emptiness. You don't have to do that. I how dare I say, but I said.
Well, what happened, like my path has been my path.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Come in and see me once in a while.
Okay.
Take good care.
Are you in the south at your the center the property you guys have near Spain?
Yeah, that's right. That's okay. Right. You take care of yourself.
Thank you. Likewise.
Yeah.
Really, thank you. Thank you for the satsang and for the call and for everyone.
It's been wonderful to speak to you.
Thank you so much.
Namaste.
Namaste.
So, Ishka.
Do I?
Oh, my. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at him. Oh, that is. Oh, he's so beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Okra. Hey, Okra.
Okra.
How, how big he's got already.
I know, he's 7 weeks old. We wanted to introduce a new family member to this family, and this is Luca, our dog, who keeps coming up. Obviously, he wants to be introduced as well.
Oh, I'm so, so happy that you bring that wonderful newborn child for us to be with. So you're happy parents?
Yeah, yeah, it's been massive. Motherhood and parenthood is more than anyone could ever describe in words. It's indescribable and big experiential. Yeah.
He is beautiful, beautiful. Is he a nice baby? Means yeah. He doesn't cry too much. He doesn't fuss too much. Because he's going to be a nice baby anyhow. But
he's amazing. Amazing. So, so blessed.
He's growing young with this beautiful dog.
Pick up. Come on.
I do have something I want to say. I feel just this satsang, the words you've said have just hit every part of me in resonance, and I really appreciated it so much.
Whoa.
Darling, do you mind taking him just for give us a moment.
Fine. That's what babies do.
Oh. Yeah, he just wants to be walked around a little bit. Okay. He was laughing so much when we put our hand up, and the most he ever has, which was really interesting. Anyway, so what I wanted to say was, yeah, everything you've been saying has really resonated so much, like given me so much aliveness and energy in my body. Mm. And something I kind of had these pieces come together around something that's been happening for me, where I get into this place of, it feels like such a dullness and a heaviness and a questioning of myself and an inability to move or to get hollow.
No, we're going to straighten up that language right now. Is that okay with you?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
There is no such thing in you as an inability. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Especially to move, constantly moving.
Regardless of how you think about it, you must always give yourself the, in my view, you do as you will. You must always give yourself the opportunity to know that you are able, you are capable. And it comes in its own time sometimes. You can't always push it. Sometimes you can.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. That's another piece into the puzzle. And what I was noticing in this space is that my desire comes through, and then it's that I'm not having this detachment, and or I'm not acknowledging my desire and wanting to push that away, or I'm not having detachment in that moment to be able to move forward and just go, it may not come to place, this desire or this impulse that comes through.
It may and it may not. And it may come in a way that you're not expecting. And it may not come at all because there's another way for you that your heart is, maybe your heart, we can call, I would say, your central awareness, this alchemical marriage of heart and mind, has another way of opening up. So you're going to get what you desire one way or the other.
That's very true. That's so true. Yeah, and it's led to me thinking I'm questioning myself and that I am not capable and that...
Well, if you have a desire that is pushing on you, and you are holding this as though the way it is, you may not be capable. But when you open it up, to see that anything is possible, then you're already capable. Then you have already, the capacity to see possibility is not always what we think it is.
Mm. Yeah. And I loved what you said, because sometimes I, in those spaces, I go to, oh, I just want life to, like the other man said, I just want life to choose for me. But it is for me to step forward and and to have step forward in that detachment. And that's how I think I can, how I can move from that space and not feel so trapped there.
Yeah, well, you're not trapped. All of these are just ideas. All of these are just, all of this idea that I am trapped and so on is a thought that you believe in for a moment, maybe not long, maybe forever. You know, some people do. But it's just a thought. Right? It's very interesting that someone I know recently also had the sense of being trapped. You are always, always free, always, always. And you're even free to adopt the idea that you're trapped.
Yeah.
So I would say, at least know that this is a choice that you have made to feel trapped and to live in that space, huh? And maybe it's also giving something important to you. Maybe it's giving something important to you.
Whoa. Well, it was lovely to show everyone Opa.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Huh? Wow. And your dog is absolutely beautiful.
Our dog is absolutely beautiful. We have to be careful. Many people want to take him home when they come over.
Yeah. I understand. He's a very handsome guy. But Okara is the most beautiful and handsome guy so far. We were all waiting for his arrival.
A beautiful arrival. I did ask for a beautiful birth. That was the one word that kept coming up for me around my birth, and it was a beautiful birth. And I had a conversation with God where I heard this question say, what does beautiful mean? Like, you keep saying beautiful, what does that mean? And so I started to think, and I started to have a conversation and share what, to me, a beautiful birth would be. Mm-hmm. And that's honestly what I experienced. And I was incredibly grateful.
See, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes this time it did. Mm-hmm. And when it doesn't, even though I feel a little crushed inside, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you too.
Sending love.
Sending love to you too. Namaste. Antisa Jensen, and then we close the satsang. It will be complete.
I think nice. That's the first time I've heard you ever say my last name, Shantimai.
What's that?
I think that's the first time I've ever heard you say my last name.
Well, that's because I always call you Antisa.
Yes. I had two things that I wanted to share that I felt this satsang touched on. One, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, is a sloka from the Ishu Upanishad, which goes something like, to free yourself from karma, you must go into the karma. Is that from the Ishu?
Yes, that is for the people who love the life. Not the people who have renounced the life, understanding that it is illusion, and they can still love the life knowing that it's illusion, can love it. But that's a statement for people who don't really understand the illusion of life and really love life in a very specific way. Yeah, Yeah.
Would you say then that sloka is in a sense a direction to get to the space where you see beyond the illusion also?
Yes, it's preparing, all of life is preparing you to see clearly. You meaning the big you.
Yeah.
All of life. So if you, as the mantra goes, if you will wish to live 100 years, then involve yourself in a karmic manner. Do your duty. Mm-hmm. What's the word? Involve yourself in action. So, and then it says that's the only way you'll keep karma from hanging on to you, right? So it's a wonderful, wonderful Upanishad. So that's for the householder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I felt to share, which felt aligned with what I think Ishka and Swami Jupiter just shared, it reminded me of, I think it's quite relevant since Ishka clearly just gave birth. I often speak to this, the allegory of childbirth in transformation, because there is an inevitable period of childbirth called transition. Yes. And it's the moment where the mother giving birth feels that she has nothing left and she's not able anymore. And she just wants to leave the scene, but she is at that point the only one who can birth the baby.
Yeah.
From that point. And it has always felt like such a powerful allegory, because that moment when you just want to give up is the moment where you double down and you move all the way through, and you're birthing yourself in that case when you're talking about transformation. But childbirth is just such a beautiful allegory for that. Because yeah. It's you, you know, and you think you're not capable anymore. And actually, this is the moment where you will discover your capability and realize it.
Absolutely. My view is renounce the idea of incapable and just see what happens. Maybe sometimes you feel a little weaker, sometimes a little stronger. But in my view, you are all yogis, which means either you have come to union and full realization of that and cannot deny it any longer, or that you are moving in the direction that is profoundly and simply inward and beginning, maybe not beginning, let's just say beginning or any other possibility to live from the inside out rather than the outside in. And this is a great, great transformation, great transformation. So one must always be good to oneself. Be kind to oneself. This is my view. This is my view. And always know that you have the capacity and the ability, and it may not look like you want it to look like. Mm-hmm. It just may not. You might.
The disillusion of delusion, actually.
That's right. It is the delusion. It's the illusion of delusion. Delusion is worse than illusion.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it keeps one in a place of utter ignorance of one's true nature, basically. That's it.
I see all of these as such powerful keys. You said, when I first met you, you said something that became like a tagline for me, which is the fastest way forward is inward. And
yeah.
I feel each of these are these little, very, very potent keys. You know, it's true that the only way out is through. It's true that the fastest way forward is inward. It's true that to free yourself from karma is to go into the karma. And then there's this place of serenity where it no longer becomes a problem. It no longer becomes.
Right. That's right. That's right. There's
the shaking is something clearly external that doesn't need to be there.
And let me add that when you are aware and access that a serenity within you, you are also self-satisfied.
Yes.
Not, I'm self-satisfied with me, the way I am. Those words would never be, they may be. I don't know if they would be or not. But it needs no confirmation.
Yeah. Yeah, self-satisfaction is for me anyway, is you wouldn't even think that you are self-satisfied.
That's right.
You're not labeling it anymore.
Right. I don't think you ever would, but you remember the guy who came and asked me how I pursue happiness? And I said, I'm not looking for happiness. Mm-hmm. And he was really like confused. I'm not looking for anything, actually.
How would you say that relates to the journey of seeking?
Well, I think the way of seeking is it's natural introspection. Mm. It's just a natural introspection. It's discovery. It's like when Swami Jupiter was speaking, it has to do with these moments. They can be very subtle. They can be very irritating. They can be very marvelous. When one sees what benefits not only themselves, but the whole of life, would benefit anyone, would benefit everyone, then there's a kind of and you need not repeat it. And you have discovered something. And you may even forget that you've discovered it. So what? It'll mm-hmm. still be at play. Mm-hmm. You don't have to mark it up. You know, well, I discovered this and I discovered this. this and, let's see what else I discovered. It all just starts living through you. That, mm-hmm. you know, that wisdom that is not actually yours is a cosmic law is living through you.
Yeah.
Equanimity.
I resonate with that. I think, I can't remember when I talked to you about this, but I very much used to track my discoveries. That's like, oh, and this is when I learned that, and this is when I learned that. And
there's nothing wrong with that either, really.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
But I guess it becomes unimportant at some point.
Yeah, now I feel I can't really remember how I got here. You know, like
that's because you've always been there.
Yes.
What you are discovering has always been true in you and will never be anything but true in you and in all beings. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. So you're discovering that I was born enlightened. Huh? I just have only to remove this false idea that I hold on to, that I got to, I have to be something for someone. I have to act some way for someone. Sometimes, yes, sometimes. But it's not your persona. It's the heart and soul of your being that's always, always and forever true, and true means with a capital T, and we can say that true means I have, without a doubt, without even a doubtlessness, I can say no more. I'm not in denial anymore. That you can say. Mm-hmm. If you need to say anything. Mm-hmm. Well, satsang's done, Antisa G.
Thank you, Guruji.
Yeah. Yeah, important. Satsang's important. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if only you'll listen to satsang. If only you will sit in satsang, you will, he says, you will overcome death and realize immortality or something like that. Just listening. You don't even have to do anything but listen to satsang, according to Lord Krishna.
Uh-huh. You could see how that would be true.
Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful elaboration, which is what Sanjay brought to the world. Wonderful. Okay, namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Shantamai.
Premo? Yeah. I'm going to turn my camera off now, Premo, but I'm listening, okay? I'm here. Namaste, everyone.
Hey, hey, Govinda. Hey, hey, Gopala Vallabha. Hey, hey, Govinda. Hey, hey, Gopala Vallabha. Hey, Vasudeva. Hey, Nityananda. Hey, Vasudeva. Hey, Nityananda. Om Rade Rade Rade.
Hey, Govinda.